Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
Well, welcome to the Hub. It is so good to have you guys here. If it's your first time in this space, welcome. This is our first Good Friday service that we're having here, and it's really good to have you guys here with us. I really love when the church can gather together. There's something really special about that, that we don't have to do life alone. We get to do it all together. And so our reflection for this week is that we're really celebrating Jesus' death, remembering that death together. And as followers of Jesus, it's really important for us that we have these rhythms, we have some milestones, because we are forgetful as human beings, and we kind of start following on our own path. And what I love about this is that we have times that we can stop and pause. And all this started even for us at Christmas time, when we all got together as a church and we were celebrating Jesus' birth. And we celebrated that together. And then every spring, we come back together again and we celebrate that Jesus died. And then we'll get together again on Sunday. I hope you guys come celebrate with us. We're going to be at the high school on Sunday morning to celebrate Easter Sunday. But for today, I would invite you just to find some space. Take a deep breath. Just kind of relax, let the things of the day kind of fall off your shoulders, and find just a worshipful posture. Steve has written some songs for us that he's going to be singing. They're all written in that program. Kaylee and I will both be doing some speaking and some kind of longer readings out of the Bible. And there's a Bible right underneath your chair, so you guys can open that at any time and follow along. A couple of things too, just if you're newer to this space, we have a bathroom that's just right down the hall. It's the second door on the right. You can get up at any time and use that. And for all my littler friends that like to color and draw, there's a little table in the back. So at some point, if you get wiggly and you want to go and color, that's totally fine with us, that you can enjoy that space together. So thanks for being with us this morning or this evening. Let me just pray as we get started. So God, we invite and welcome your presence here with us. And we thank you that you came to earth to show us how to live and how to be. And so for all the things that we feel like we have to do, would you let those roll off and bring us into a place where we can be present with you this evening? Would you help us become more aware of the places in our lives where we are vulnerable and where we need to see a sacrificial servant, just like you are, Jesus? Come right now, Lord. In your name, amen. Steve's gonna lead us in a song.
Though the earth cried out for blood, satisfied her hunger was. Billows calmed on raging seas for the souls of men she craved. Sun and moon from balcony turn their head in disbelief. Precious love would taste the sting, disfigured and disdained. On Friday, a thief, on Sunday, a king. Laid down in grief, but woke with the keys to hell on that day, the firstborn of the slain. Jesus Christ laid death in his grave. So through his 3 days in darkness slept the morning sun of righteousness. Arose the shame, the throes of death, and overturned his rule. Now the duns and the sons of men would pay not their dues again. The debt of blood they owed was rent when the day rolled anew. Friday a thief, and Sunday a king. Laid down in grief, but woke holding keys. To hell on that day, firstborn of the slain. Jesus Christ laid death in his grave. Oh, day, firstborn of the slain. The man Jesus Christ laid death in his grave.
Guys, at this time we're going to do a reading from Isaiah 53. So if you want to pull out your smartphones, you can do that. Otherwise, there's Bibles under your chairs. We're going to be at page 511 if you'd like to read with me. So Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will set his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So Jesus was afflicted, oppressed, pierced, and crushed. Verse 7 reads, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus was vulnerable. And what does the world do to vulnerability? It takes its innocent children and abuses them. It takes vulnerable girls and traffics them. It takes our vulnerable bodies and plagues us with cancer, and steals our loved ones from us. The world attacks and oppresses and exploits vulnerability. Our God knows this world, and he knows the evil here. He knows the way the world treats his beloved and vulnerable children. Yet he stepped out of his freedom, out of his heaven, and came to the earth in a body like mine and a body like yours. And that act alone shows his choice of vulnerability. Jesus' life, and especially his sacrificial death on the cross, revealed to us that we have a vulnerable God. He came into the world knowing that we would put his body onto a cross. How can we make sense of this? It is often said that the kingdom of God is upside down, meaning that God writes stories that seem backwards to us. Sending his son to live with us, to teach us, to love us, to die on a cross, it doesn't make sense, but it was God's plan. What if God's idea of vulnerability was upside down as well? What if instead of weakness, being vulnerable is powerful? What if God's idea of vulnerability wasn't submission to evil, but was submission to God's plan and his plan of good redemption? What if God's idea of vulnerability isn't shame and hiding, but it was purity and it was honesty? While the world wants to pin up vulnerability, Jesus takes it to the grave, to hell, and he brings it back in a new and redeemed way. The author and teacher Lisa Bevere says it this way: the love of God does not dominate, it elevates. Jesus came to us to invite us into a new and true and beautiful upside down way of life. He shows us being vulnerable is a way to freedom, to power, and ultimately to heaven. Jesus gives us a new call to vulnerability, a new expression of it, one that is not weak but is humble, one that is not abused but is strong and sends a new message to our world. He shows us being vulnerable is one of the deepest expressions of love, that when we can love other people and be vulnerable with them, and when other people can love us in our vulnerability, we experience true peer love. Do we feel that we can be vulnerable with God? Do we feel that we can experience that peer love in the relationship with him? Often we view God as scary and judgmental and distant. Even in the passage we just read, we hear, "It was the will of the Lord to crush him. Out of the anguish of his soul, God shall see and shall be satisfied." What if this is a view that we put on God? And what if it's a view that's incorrect? What if Jesus came so that we would see our God as a naked and bruised and bleeding man on a cross? The fully human but fully divine man who continuously invited people into intimate and vulnerable relationship with him, who dies a vulnerable death and raises again and conquers the oppression and exploitation of vulnerability and purity. And then he continues with his invitation into a vulnerable and deep relationship with him. We have an invitation to be vulnerable with God on purpose. I believe that God is in all things and knows all things. This truth can be comforting, but at the same time, it can lead me to a place of thinking, I don't need to bring that to God. I don't need to talk to him on purpose about that because he already knows, or because he might know and I'm going to hide it anyways. In the last few months, I've been challenged to be vulnerable with God on purpose, to actually bring him my questions, to bring him my doubts, my shortcomings, my fears. And that feels uncomfortable, it feels deep, and it feels vulnerable. But the only thing that I've received in place of that is more freedom. What I've received in place of that vulnerability, of that depth, and that discomfort is a more true and deep and trusting relationship with my Creator and my Savior. I think that God's invitation to me and to you this Good Friday is to go deeper with him. Jesus redeemed many things when he redeemed our lives on the cross. Vulnerability is part of that package. Because he purposely came to us vulnerable, we can go to him vulnerable too. So at this time, Steve is going to play another song for us. There are communion tables set up over here in the back corner and one on the side here. You guys can get up from your seats and grab a juice, and you can grab some bread and then take a seat. And we'll listen to the rest of Steve's song, and then we'll take communion together as a church.
To be fed, burnt down all my kingdoms, abandoned by my friends. The whispers from the hilltop me, everything will die. And death is not the end. No, death is not the end. Walking through the crowds with hell on my back, saying death is not the end, death is not the end. Waiting at the hilltop, just waiting for a sign that death is not the end, death is not the end. Forsaken us, has God condemned his throne? Are we left here vacant? Are we left here alone?
And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body. Let's take the bread together." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And Jesus said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. And truly I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Let's take the cup together. So, Father, we thank you so much for your broken body, for your blood for us. And we take you in. In your name, amen. We're going to read another passage of scripture together. Again, this is out of Luke 23, 33 through 46. It's on page 743 in your Bibles too. All right, so starting in 33, it says, "When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.' And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him, and they said, 'He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one.' And the soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar, and they said, 'If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was a written notice above him, which read, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.' But the other criminal rebuked him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for what we are getting is what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus answered him, 'Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.' And it was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two, and Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. You know, we see throughout all of time and history that the sufferer has been the one that's admonished, and it's a stumbling block for all of humanity. The things that we read in the Bible and in historical study, we see that sufferers were removed, that they're outcasts in society. Resources must be spent on the strong, on the able, on the mighty. The strong survive and the weak are eliminated. So then what then do we do with Jesus? What do we do with a God who comes to us as a suffering servant? When I've been thinking about thinking on these topics of Jesus being the one who is our suffering servant, the one that we worship, it's something I struggle with and something that I work through, because being strong is something that I'm running after. And I'm after eliminating all the weaknesses that are there. It's but one of the storylines of my life. And I see this playing out even when I was a very young girl. There were things that I rejected, a lot of like the girly things, the color pink, getting my ears pierced, wearing a dress, because somewhere along my storyline, I believe that those things were weak things. And so I was going to try really hard to eliminate them. They seemed like a threat to me. And I didn't want to be weak. Weakness was something that was a threat that I needed to eliminate. However, on the other hand, for a girl, it means that you're a tomboy, and that idea is not a great idea either. So there was a threat in that. And so it often left me feeling as though I couldn't really be true in my own skin. And still, even to this day, when I think about the topic that Kaylee was talking about, being vulnerable, I think about Jesus as our sacrificial servant. There's something in there that's hard for me to grasp, because it's hard to live in a body that knows its weaknesses and wants to eliminate them. Somewhere I'd learned along the line that being strong and tough and competent was the best way. And that even though there might be people who need help, there might be weakness in the world, that wasn't going to be me. I could do my best to help other people who are weak or needed help, but it was not for me to admit any kind of weakness on my own. And I would say that in my day-to-day life, or approaching myself in the world, that this idea of being really self-sufficient works. It's fine to be strong. But the place where there's conflict is when I come to the place of becoming God's child, where I want to enter into his kingdom. This is tough, because what I see in Jesus' life is that he lived through this tension of suffering and glory. And it's really tough to experience God's mercy and his goodness when I'm unwilling to see that there's glory in and through suffering, when I'm just all about eliminating weakness. So the question remains, what if suffering and sacrifice is a divine necessity for my own regeneration? Because what I see in Scripture is that it was Jesus' divinely given mission to come and to be the sacrificial servant, the suffering servant. And Jesus' death on the cross is a prophetic fulfillment and a divine necessity for us to experience the kingdom life. We see that in his death that Jesus confirms this whole prophetic storyline that's been running throughout the Old Testament. And it started, like I talked about, at Christmas time, when we see that the God who made us has come to live with us. He comes as a little baby. And then as he grows, he performs miracles and there's healings. We read these stories over in the Bible. He proclaims that this new kingdom is coming here on earth. And there's excitement. But then all of a sudden, we kill him. We kill Jesus. And we see this is because he stood up for those who suffered. He didn't stand against the weak and oppressed, but he was the one who stood with them. And then that, I think, is the threat for us as humans. We see Jesus, the suffering, as despised. He was somebody who was familiar with pain and humiliated. So we see that this, even in the Bible, this is the climax of where this gospel story begins, that the Messiah, the one who came to be our rescuer, is killed. And so Jesus' death marks the end of something old, the old era, and we see some remarkable things taking place in the gospel accounts. So this story we see all over in Matthew and in Mark and in Luke. But there's something remarkable that happens. We read it earlier here, that we see that the curtain in the temple is torn in two. And what this means now is that there's a symbol that there's no more barrier between God and man, that has been separated and removed. And now we can be in God's presence all the time instead of having a barrier between us. But also there's darkness. There's darkness in the middle of the day for 3 hours. And I think probably the most wild thing of all when you read this story is that in Matthew's account that the dead rise up from their graves and are walking around. That's incredible. So there are all these, even though Jesus has died, there's all these amazing things that are happening. The curtain is torn in two, the dead are walking around and it's dark. There's tension, there's conflict. But we see that all of this is a part of the redeeming work of this suffering servant that's come. And through death, the kingdom of God is birthing this brand new world order, this new kingdom coming. It's the regeneration of all these things. And so for us, that means that there's no more delay. The kingdom is here. We have access to it now. The Old Testament prophetic hope of the coming kingdom always involved this catastrophic inbreaking of God. So that means that for us here, we still live in tension. Jesus' death and his life means that we are already made new. We don't have to work for that. We don't have to strive for that. It's already happened. He did the work. But while we wait for him to come back to earth to make everything as perfect as heaven, we still live in the tension that we have to deal with suffering, to deal with death. We have to deal with pain. So there's confusion and conflict with that. We find ourselves often thinking of these things. Why do we have to wait for the kingdom to come? Why isn't it here already? So I want to know, how do I go back and what do I tell, when I was starting at the beginning here, what do I tell that little girl? What do I tell her about weakness and suffering? And as a church and as a community, what do we tell ourselves as we have conversations with people about suffering and death and the waiting? The divine God knew that we would need a leader to show us and that we would need a leader to follow, that we weren't going to be able to figure this all out on our own, how to handle weakness and suffering. So God knew that we would struggle with this, and he sent us an amazing example in Jesus. So instead of fighting against our weaknesses, what we see in God is that where we demand strength, we see God is vulnerable. And where we pursue power, we see that God is humble. And where we demand lordship and a king, God is our humble servant. Our God through Jesus is right now making all things new. God is restoring all things. So by the divine sacrifice and mercy, we are kingdom people that are designed for relationship with God and man. No more barriers in between. We are invited into this mission of making all things new. This is one of the reasons that we've gathered here together. It's a reason for the church that we don't do these things alone. We might deal with suffering and pain and death, but God has given us to each other. We as a community are people who are not going to run from these things, but we're going to allow suffering and pain to work in us and through us so we can become humble and vulnerable and servant-hearted. Steve's going to lead us in another song.
Spin, it's keeping our feet on solid ground. It's keeping the mountains from crumbling down. It keeps mama from breaking down in the middle of the night. Makes an orphan who want a child. It's you. It's you. Does your light shine when all of the lights surrender to the dark? How does your water flow when the deepest wells are all dried up?
'Cause even in the desert, you command the crops to grow. And even in the poor boy, you see pure gold.
We stand together. We're going to take some time to pray together. We don't normally do this when we gather, but I'm going to ask us to do it today. I'd like you to grab the hand of the person next to you. There's something about all the things we talked about being vulnerable, about the suffering servant. The thing that Jesus did by coming and dying on the cross, part of what he did was remove that loneliness factor. There's something about that we don't have to walk through those things alone. That we have a community of people that we get to be together with. This is why God put the church together, so that we aren't alone. It isn't to remove pain and all those things. That will come when Jesus comes back again. But right now, while we're in the middle of it, we have each other. We have each other to point each other back to Jesus. I'm going to pray for us. So God, I thank you for what you did on the cross. I thank you that you led the way, that you show us how to be humble and gentle and vulnerable. You show us how to suffer well. And that when others rise, that you get low. And in that, there is such tremendous power. We see the power of your kingdom. And so I pray that that falls on us as your people right now. And where we feel alone, would you come to us? We were not designed to be alone. You designed us for relationship for each other. So would you come? Bring your kingdom and your power, Jesus, to us. We just wait on you. Be with us now as we leave this place, as we reflect on your death, and that in that is life. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for Good Friday service. We have Easter services we're going to celebrate. There'll be donuts and I almost said confetti, but no, that's not. We're not going to have confetti. But they're at different times. They're at 9 and 11 at the high school. We would love to have you there. Everybody in your home is welcome to join us. Thank you for coming with us, being with us this evening. Stay. Please talk with each other. If you need to leave, you're welcome to leave also. But thanks for being here.